Chevra, first of all, you know, today was a very, very difficult day for Klal Yisrael. Difficult day for the Dearest Mishpacha in particular. Many other beautiful Mishpachas of institutions, of yeshivas. The loss of a very big tzaddik, Rav David Tzvi Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzaddik Kadosh Lvaracha, Aaron Menahel, Rabbi Kamenetsky's father. I was talking by Senior Chizik minutes ago, and I was thinking about it. The MS is for each and every one of us. Looking around tonight, we only have DRS boys here. See if the other guys show up, but even the other guys just show up. They want to say they're DRS graduates. That's a whole nother tire. L'meisa, each and every one of us, you know, Kol Malamed is Ben Chavera Torah Ki Yoldo. Anyone has a schus to teach Torah, as if you've given birth to someone. As you know, I deeply feel that each and every one of you are not just Talmidim to me, but my children. And there's no question Rabbi Kamenetsky feels the same way about each and every Talmud of DRS. And even if you've never had him in a shir, he's the Rebbe of all of DRS. And therefore, his father is each and every one of us, each and every Talmud in DRS, and myself as a Talmud from Rabbi Kamenetsky years ago and until today. So Rav David Kamenetsky is our grandfather, he's our Zaydi. And it's a loss for each and every one of us. And when you, if you were there today and if you knew him, you understand exactly where Rabbi Kamenetsky comes from. And Amir Hashem, the entire Mishpacha should have a big Nechama. And Amir Hashem, he should be a male Yosher for all of us and his, and the entire Mishpacha. And we should be zoicha the karav mamish to tchesa meisim with gula shlema b'mehir b'mehir.
Amen.
You know, chevra, in the secular calendar, tomorrow is June. Most of us, I don't know if you knew that, you didn't know that. We're in the middle of Sivan. Today was June? No, tomorrow. Tomorrow's June. June 1st. And I don't know, there is a date on the secular calendar when they say summer begins. I don't know what that's based upon, when the seasons begin. But in most of our books, the summer begins. So those of us that have a Yiddish, a real Yiddish in the Shema, summer begins Shavuos, a good Zimmer. But from the secular Welt and what we think of summer, June, July, August is summer. And therefore the summer is upon us. And a lot of people in the world look forward to the summer. The summer is often a time, it's a little more chilled, a little more laid back. It's obviously nicer outside, which itself is something nice. It's nice to be able to be outside more, spend time with the Brias HaOlam and the Flois HaBoyre. But with all of that brings a tremendous amount of sakana. With all of that is a big sakana when it comes to pritzus. And not just on the beach. So we can be strong, we're above that, we're not going to go to a beach. But the pritzus just walking in streets. The lack of tznius in the world that we live in. And not just in New York City if you're doing some internship there. On our streets as well. Sadly, unfortunately, the sense of kol kvodav asmelch panima is not where it should be by all. And therefore, it's lakana beruchnius. And we need to have strength. And we need to make sure that the summer, yes, is a time to have a little menuchas and nefesh, and a little more time to ourselves, to strengthen our avodas Hashem. To strengthen our ruchnius. To strengthen our kesher to the Rabbeinu Shalom. There's no question, we say it here all the time, the Lubavitcher Rebbe Zatzal used to tell all the time that you have to live with the parsha. And if this week's parsha Ba'aloyzcha is the beginning of the summer months, that means the key to success, the etzos to be matzliach in a time of temptation and taiva and pritzos is found within this week's parsha. So we have to learn the parsha, we have to learn and hopefully get chizik that should last us, Bez Hashem, for each and every one of us the entire summer long. So we have this episode in the parasha in Shishi of the Misayinim, the complainers. When the Yidden were unhappy with the man and they wanted basar, they wanted meat. And the pasuk says in Perek Yud Aleph, pasuk Dalet, v'hasafsuf, a very strange word. I don't know if that word comes anywhere else up in all of Chumash. V'hasafsuf, our scroll translates the rabble. I don't even know what that means. Sounds like some lingo. It doesn't sound like some. Nah, I don't know. But you know, the chitter chatter, whatever you want to call it. The riffraff, that's how often it's translated, I know, when people try to translate this pasuk. The riffraff, Asher Bekirbo, that was among Bnei Yisrael, that was in the midst of Bnei Yisrael. His Avu Taiva. We have to understand this, which was a creation of Taiva, a desire for desire, this double language, this Kefa Lashon of His Avu Taiva. We have to get back to that. Veshuvu veyipchu gam bnei Yisrael, and they were all sitting and they were weeping, they were crying. I was crying for taiva. Veyivku gam bnei Yisrael veyomru mi yachilenu basar. Who's going to give us the meat? Who's going to feed us the meat? So what's this lashon of isavu taiva? His avu taiva. Could you read? His avu, they desired. His avu, that taiva. What's his avu taiva? So based on the Svasemes, I want to say as follows. You know, in life, every single one of us has the Yetzirah within us. And the Yetzirah is an innate taiva, temptation. To want gashmias, to want materialism, to want to look at certain things, to want to act in a certain way, to want to ingest certain things. The Tahara basically creates our taiva within us. And by the way, that's nothing to feel bad about, or to be ashamed about, or to try to be in denial about. It's very important to admit and to understand that we have this Yetzirah. Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, Shlita, has told me many times when I've been by him that the Yetzirah, that we have to understand and not be in denial of the Yetzirah. And not feel bad and be down because we have these taivas. They're natural, they're normal, they're within us. It's part of who we are. Our avodah is to have the proper self-control. Our avodah is to defeat the taivas. Our avodah is to not give in to those taivas. And that's how we raise ourselves in avodah Hashem, in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the taivas are natural that are there. That's the Yetzirah within us. Now when did those begin? By the Chet of Eitz Hadas. If you look in the Mefarshim, they all explain in Parshas Bereishis that prior to Eitz Hadas, we had no Yetzirah from within. We had some sort of Yetzirah from without. That was the Nachash. But not a Yetzirah from within. The Nefesh HaChayim, Chayim Lashon speaks about this in the beginning. So Adam HaRishon already had this Yetzirah within. But then comes along Har Sinai. Comes along Shavuos. And Chazal teach us, and Nefesh HaChayim speaks about this at length, Pasku Zumason. We went back to a time of Adam Arishim Kodim L'Chet. We were Kulo Ruchni, completely spiritual. And in a certain sense, Yitzhara was gone. Which, by the way, is going to happen again. Bezit Hashem is Baruch. Halavai, not. But Bizman Mashiach Lekenu. The Pasuk says in Parashat Nitzavim, Umol Hashem is Levavcha, Levav Zarecha. If you look there, it's a beautiful Ramban. That there's going to be a milas halev, the circumcision of the heart, which Hashem is going to basically take out our yetzirah, no more yetzirah. And that's maybe the understanding of what the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Nun Beis, is talking about, of the shechting of the yetzirah. So it's going to happen one time again. But l'maisa, at our Sinai, that happened. Pasku zumasam. We were Adam Rishon Koyd Mechait. We had no taiva naturally for anything bad. Additionally, we were then eating the man. The man was a food that satiated us, that was actually physically also delicious and tasted, as we know, like anything we wanted to taste. But it was kulo ruchni, meaning what? It was the exact sustenance that we needed. And there was no, although it could have been enjoyable, there was no element of taiva in that at all, even in that act of eating. And we see that happened. I saw Rav Shur explains, and others explain it, that was Kriyas, the Lashon of Kriyas Yamsuf. The Yam represents the Mayim Tanugim, the Mayim of pleasure, that Alpi Kabbalah is Mayim Gashmias, Geshem is Milashon, right? Geshem is Gashmias. And there was a Kriyas Yamsuf represented. From that point, we were trying to break away from all Taiva. Even though we were still eating and living a normal life, we weren't on a level like a malach, but even that eating was b'li taiva. It was just what we needed for our sustenance and even enjoyment, but b'li any temptation, without temptation. I want to suggest, it came to me preparing just mamish today, maybe that's b'derech drush, we could explain just on something for each and every one of you to remember. B'shat toiv mitzlachas, chasen, we have a married man already, you'll understand this deeper than most in the room. But b'shat toiv by each and every one of you. You know, the Chazal teach us the Gemara in the beginning. So the kasher zivugim kakriyas yamsuf. We've darshened this before in other ways, but the zivugim are coming together, a man and a woman coming together as one, are as difficult as kriyas yamsuf. I want to suggest tonight a new pshat in that. Maybe b'dechturash. What was difficult, what was kriyas yamsuf? Kriyas yamsuf, if you, what Rav Shur is explaining, was Kriyas Hayam, was breaking away from anything that's Gashmi. Breaking away from Taiva, from temptation. In life, we naturally have temptation. And lo aleinu, sadly, sometimes even in a marriage, there's an element of a negative temptation. Meaning what? There's an attraction factor, and there's a Taiva for certain aspects of the marriage that maybe are not best for us. Meaning what? In a pure, perfect world, our relationship with our wife should be kulo ava, kulo love, b'li lust, without lust. And there's a difference. And that doesn't even mean, and let me explain, it means even our physical relationship with our wife will be something that's so pure out of ava, and so beautiful, and so real. Not that it won't exist. We were eating in the midbar, but it was kulo ruchni. So to our physical will be all... Our physical relationship with a man and a woman can be something that's kulo ava, b'li taiva. Which is something that we have to strive for. Because when we bring the lust in, it's destructive to the physical relationship and to the marriage. Because it's no longer about the love and the connection and the life of a husband and woman together, but it's just basically using a wife as a mutter taiva. Which not necessarily is best for us or for the marriage. So maybe Kasha Zivugun Kriyas Yamsuf is that same. Just like by Kriyas Yamsuf, we were breaking away from Taiva, so it too has to be in a marriage, which is very difficult. Just a suggestion. And our whole marriage, Bez Hashem, should be love and not lust. For each and every one of us. So by, at this point in history, Klal Yisrael was at this point of Paschal Zubasan, was it a point eating the man kula ruchli? Was it a point of Kriyas Yamsuf? So naturally, they didn't have Taiva. They didn't have Taiva. So if they didn't have Taiva, what does it mean, his avu tava, in our Pasuk, that they desired this meat? And this double lashon, so his avu taiva, as Fasem has explained, must mean they didn't desire, they didn't have the taiva, but they desired to desire. His avu taiva, double lashon, they desired to desire. They wanted the taiva back. His avu taiva. They desired to desire. In my Rebbe Rav Lachman always says, when it comes to Ruchnius, he's very famous, he switches up the line a little different always, but it's something along the lines of, when it comes to wanting to be an Eved Hashem, and wanting to be close to Torah and Hashem, you have to want to wish to desire to want to be an Eved Hashem. or in whatever context he's talking about. He's very famous for that line. So here, maybe this is the source. Klal Yisrael desired to desire. They desired to have the temptation. And we have to understand, why would that be? If they didn't have, that sounds like a wonderful place to be. It seems like a wonderful place to be, where I'm not having Taivas Nashim, and Taivas Gashmis, and Taivas Mamon, and Taivas to watch an NBA Finals tonight, the Chveis Nish. Obviously, Baruch Hashem, the guys in his room are not pulled by that. And understand there's so many more important things in this world. And not that there's anything terrible about that, I don't mean that. I enjoy it as well, trust me. But obviously, Talmud Torah, Keneged Kulam, it's not even a question of having a shir to go to. But if they didn't have the taiva, so why would they want to build the taiva? Why would they desire to desire taiva? Why would there be his avu taiva? So Sfas Emes explains. And I'll read from inside the Sfas Emes. It's one of the first pieces in the Parashat Tafresh Lamed Aleph. Mashma shelo hayolem taiva. They didn't have the taiva. Shayulu malam me'ateva cheres me'etzahara. Because they were above teva, they were free from the etzahara. But they thought it would be better if they had taiva. And then bitul kol haritzonos for taivas la Hashem yisbarach. Meaning what? They wanted to have taiva for ruchnius. They wanted to have taiva for not just what was heter at first, but in order to build it into their mitzvahs, into their avodas Hashem. And I'll read you from another Sfas Emes a few pieces later. His avu tavish are chaser lam taiva, they were lacking taiva. Ki ayu rechukim me taivas gashmis. Lechach hayu chaserim taiva toiva. They were also missing the desire for good, the hislavas for Torah mitzvahs. Lechach his avu taiva. Meaning what? We need passion in this world. And what the Sfas Emes is saying is, the Halakha Gemara Rebbe is teaching us that they desired taiva and they wanted to through the taiva for achila, which at least is a mutter outlet. They're not desiring taivas nashim for znus or something terrible. Taiva for gashmi. Why? They wanted to rebuild their taiva because they lost taiva completely. They wanted to rebuild the taiva to then use it in their hislavas lemitzvahs. In their slavas for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in their passion for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in their passion for Torah mitzvahs. However, we live in a world of apathy. This world of technology that we live in, this device is a destructive agent of passion, excitement, emotion. People are admonished, live their lives just tapping their fingers to a screen and flipping through and looking at things all day without living a passionate, emotional lifestyle. You know, it's so sad to me to see in the younger ages, the teenagers that are just, it's not a sense of doing bad or doing right, just apathetic to the world. It's not even like there's an excitement to be involved in the bad taivas anymore. Because there's no effort in life. It's just sitting, wasting our life on a chesnish, playing Fortnite. Whoever knows what this is, Fortnite? Hours upon hours upon hours just playing Fortnite. Or hours upon... It's some shooting, ridiculous game if the Chever doesn't know. But people, I'm telling you, the teenagers, they will sit in their rooms alone for 4 hours straight with a headset on playing this Fortnite game. Or then hours just looking through social media. And there's no emotional interaction with people anymore. You go into a pizza, if you go tomorrow, Chever likes to go, some of the Chever will go for lunch to pizza on Erev Shabbos Kodesh. Go and look at the teenagers in there. And you'll see at a table, four teenagers sitting at a table, all four with their pizza there, on their phones, looking at their phone, typing away and looking away. No interaction. So no emotional connection. And no emotional connection, there's no passion. You know, I joke, but every joke has some emes to it. You know, in the earlier years, in yeshiva, emes, you know, we had some, Baruch Hashem, we worked on it in a lot of ways, but we found that there was some, and not that this is, well, not that we're immune to it, no one's immune to it, but some serious, whatever. Some serious challenges when it comes to substance abuse in a very, very real way. And I'm not saying we're not immune to it. I'm not, and there still is on some level. And but Lemaitre was on a very, very serious level. And we realized that. And then we took certain steps to try to work on that in a very real, and testing and different things. Sometimes I joke with my Talmidim, like, you know, bring back at least the passion for that. Because at least then there's passion, there's a slavus. Once you have the slavus for something, then we could take that slavus and use it for Torah mitzvahs. Eventually we'll get you, and you'll have a slavus for learning, and a slavus for davening, as opposed to just apathy to the world. We need taiva in some area to then take that taiva and utilize it for Torah mitzvahs. And I'd be a passionate Jew. Rachman al-Libabai. Not just a mechanical robot who happens to go to shul and happens to learn a few Mishnayas and some Gemara a day and happens to keep Shabbos and happens to make brachas. But I'm passionate. I have a slavus. I'm a taivadik Jew. I'm full of taiva. Taiva for mitzvahs. Taiva for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Taiva for Torah. That's Isavu, taiva. That's what they wanted. Some of you will know who I'm talking about now, but I know him. He wouldn't want me to say the name. Earlier this week, I was by Chasana. No one will know, because Baruch Hashem was by Chasana every single night this week. Simchas. But one of the Chasanas, a parent came over to me. And the parent was boasting about his son, my Talmud. And I say that in a very positive way. Parents should be boasting about their children. Parents should be proud of their children. Especially a child like this who's a Ben Torah and Eved Hashem, who's been mechazik others, mashpia on others, in an amazing way, on a very high level. Mamish being mashpia and giving himself for others. A very special Talmud of mine, a very close Talmud of mine who I love dearly. And this particular Talmud, and again, maybe I'm giving away some, if you know it's okay, but this particular Talmud, when he was younger, he was crazy into the Rangers, crazy into hockey. He happened to be a phenomenal hockey player. I remember when he was on the hockey team, which he was phenomenal. Of course, he won the championships, had an incredible goal in the game. Okay, maybe I'm giving away a lot of information, but I remember how he would lead the team running, and they'd run from like Ichbeishnish, the whole five towns, like they to Lawrence Middle School, because Lawrence Middle School was the championship. So every Friday, right after Shiva, he'd lead the whole team run. We'd have to run to Lawrence. They'd have to run to Lawrence Middle School. And I remember sometimes I'd drive by, and he was like all the way in the front, and half the guys were like six blocks back, like hardly making it. But he had his slavus. He had his slavus for hockey. He had his slavus for the Rangers. He always had the slavus. And his father was telling me, you remember all the slavus he had for the Rangers and for hockey? Now he's giving it to Torah, and giving it to mitzvahs, and giving it to davening, and giving it to his talmidim. And you know what? He's right, that father. It's Amos. Very proud of that Talmud. We used to sit at this table every week. Okay. No, yeah, the old bias, obviously. He never writes. Not this bias. But that's Hisavu Taiva. That's what Klal Yisrael wanted. That's what we need. You want to know how to be Matzliach against the Taivas of the summer? We have to have Taivas for Ruchnius. It has to be emotional. It has to be passionate. We have to daven with heart. Not Hebrew reading exercises. Put in a little art, a little kavanah in our tefillas. Take a little longer. So open up your eyes and nobody else is left in the room once in a while. With a little bit of kavanah. Don't worry, in some shuls, if you just went 10 minutes, no one's going to be left. Taivas for Ruchni. So that's what Klai Yisrael wanted, to rebuild. They needed some taivas. They said the taivas for the Achila will build, they'll then uplift that and apply it to Ruchnis. Maybe that's Pshat in the Chazal, in the beginning of Torah. The Pasuk says, V'nei Tov. Tov zuyot, the Chazal says it's Tov zuyot to Tov, Ma'od zu yetzahara. The yetzahara is Tov Ma'od. How? When the yetzahara is what builds taiva for Gashmias, for Noshim, for Mamon. It's Tov Ma'od when we take all of that and apply it to Ruchnias. All of that and apply it to Torah. Oh, but then what was the chait here? That's beautiful. This is what we're saying we need. Where was the chait? So what was wrong with that? If that's what the Sfasemis is saying, was his Avu Taiva, what's wrong with that? So the Sfasemis explains. Avalo Hutzvu Devrayim. Their words weren't good. Their words weren't correct. L'Hashem Yisparach. Shetzarech Adam Lios Chared Yoyser. Liyare Pen Yivatuch Asashom Rat Hashem Yisparach. V'loyavi Atmo Lidei Nisoon. A person has to be afraid. A person has to be afraid that if they put themselves in that situation and you put yourself into a Nisayon, you may fall. So you're not supposed to put yourself in it. After you chulis kos lemadrecha idezeh, even if you're matzliach, you'll reach very high levels. She said nikra legarmei uksas, meaning what? It's not our avoda ever, and this is where they were wrong. They went in lishma, but where they were wrong was we never put ourselves in that nisoyon. You know, a guy's gonna say, "Oh, I heard that the bunch of chveisnisht of my friends are going to be at the beach on Sunday afternoon." So you know what? That's a perfect opportunity to be makar of them, mashbiya on them. And I'm going lishma, and I'm going to go to talk to them, and I'm going to bring echves nisht, I'm going to bring some pak of mishnayas to give out, and we're going to, you know, it's going to be good. I'm going to be, you know. And I'm going in lishma. No. And you go there, and mamish, you read this adiris. It's not for us to put ourselves in that makom of Nisayon. And that's where, and it's important, that's important you saw it on its own, to know where to be, and to know, to put on the proper gedarim, not to put ourselves in particular situations, even if we mean lishma. And we have to be very careful. And if we need to be in some places, we have to put up the proper gedarim, and it's something we have to really think out. And it has to be done with chachma. But the lesson behind it is beautiful. His avu taiva. The lesson that each and every one of us needs taiva. Each and every one of us needs this in our avodas Hashem. I want to say maybe that's also pshat in Rashi earlier in the parsha by the Menorah, a very famous Rashi that's spoken about this morning. It was spoken about this afternoon about Rav David Kamenetsky Zatzal by numerous individuals, where the pasuk says Vayask, talking about the Menorah, Da'abe al Aaron v'marti lo ba'lus chasenoros, tell Aaron about lighting the Menorah. Vayask kein Aaron, and Aaron did such. He did it. So what's Rashi say? Vayask kein Aaron, very famous, you know it. La'agit shvachol sh'aron shloshina. Praise him that he didn't change. He didn't deviate. And on Pasha Pshat, what's Pshat and Rashi? Shkoyach, what Aaron going to do differently than Hashem said? So Hashem says, light a Menorah of 7 Neiros, I want one of 10. Aaron's going to do such a thing. Was this Shaloshina? Hashem says light it every day. Eh, I'll do it Mondays and Thursdays. Would Aaron HaKoyim, would we ever be Chayshish? Aaron HaKoyim wouldn't do exactly what Hashem says. Big Shevach. You did what Hashem told you to. That's the Shevach? Shaloshina, you didn't change? So maybe we could suggest, you know what it means, Shaloshina? You know when we do something and we just start doing it? When you just start doing it, you're doing it for the first time, man. You know, the first day of Elzman, you get into yeshiva, and you sit down with your chavrusa, and it's geshmak, and it's full of slavas, it's full of taiva. And by the second day, wears off a little, and by the third day, a little more. That is chachus, that is slavas, and whatever we're doing often wears away. The gadlus of Aaron HaKohen v'yaskin Aaron, that every day, day in and day out, shaloshina. Not that he didn't change the maisa, he didn't even change the machshava, the hislavas, the passion. That's something each and every one of us need. And that's how we're matzliach against the taiva of tuma, by having taiva shel kedusha, and being alive and passionate in our avodas Hashem. If it's just going to be rote mechanical, the taiva of the summer will win out, because that's exciting to us. And it will win out. There's no one who's going to be strong enough. But if our Yiddishkeit is on fire, our Yiddishkeit is where we have taiva. Hisavu taiva. I want that taiva. The Klal Yisrael was asking for the taiva back. Okay, we'll start with the eating, so we'll apply it to our Avodas Hashem. Then I can be matzliach wherever I am. Chevra, yesterday I was thinking, and I was learning up this Torah, and I was looking at this pasuk. I was looking at the pasuk of Yisavu Taiva, and the first word, that word that Moshe Shmuel is telling, Rifrath Vasafsuf, such a strange word. Such a strange word, Vasafsuf. What is this word? I just felt strongly that this word has to be Marames Tosta. This word has to be hinting something. It has to be much more than the translation which none of us even know how to translate. What is found within this word? Chav, you ready? It's a very, very special Siyat Shmai from the Kodesh Baruch Hu. One of those I've been very excited to give over. Sometimes you know that something comes with tremendous Yad Shmaya. You don't know. It's not me. It's in all of yours, just like I can tell it to you. So right away, when I think something is deep and has a remez, I'm thinking of a gematria. The chaver knows, right? So I take the gematria of Safsuf, and the gematria of Safsuf is exactly 292. 292. So I'm thinking, what's 292? Thinking, what's 292? And I'm thinking, just for a minute or two, and the Chevron knows I've said this many times, when it comes to Gematria, I always feel it has to be Matana and Tzad Shmaya, not spend long time. If it comes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends words and they fit, great. If not, forget it. And after a couple minutes, it's okay. I didn't come up with anything. And then out of nowhere, this is what came into my mind. I don't know why, but this was the Siyat Shmaya, that I have to look in the Kutim Aran. Emes. That I have to look in Likutei Maran. But then it hit me. I look in Likutei Maran. And I open up Likutei Maran. And Likutei Maran only goes up to, because I was thinking of them. So I'm thinking, it must be Torah, Reish Sadi Beis. It must be that's where I'm supposed to look, 292. But I look in Likutei Maran. And Likutei Maran only goes up to Reish Pei Vav. Likutei Maran stops just short, 286. Say, thank you, Hashem, but no thanks. You know, we got to forget it. Back to the drawing board. He says, no. There's always a way. There's always a solution. It must be, if the Rabbeinu Shlomo made me think of Likutei Maran, it must be that it's still telling me something. So we know when Likutei Maran, those of us that have studied Likutei Maran, we know that Likutei Maran has the first part that goes up to Reish Pei Vav. But then there's Likutei Maran Tinyana. And the Sefer continues. Now the Sefer continues and it starts over in an Aleph. But Bistama, it's all one Sefer. So if you have 286 is the beginning of Likutei Maran, so you want to get to 292, you have to get to Piz Vav in the Tinyana. Piz Vav in the Tinyana is the 292nd piece of Likutei Maran. And that must be what the Rabbeinu Shlomo wanted me to look at, which is Gematria V'Safsuf, of this Pasuk that we just learned. So what happens when we open up to Piz Vav in the Tinyana, Piz Reish Sadi Beis, 292? You can't make this up, Chaver. You can't make this up. Even the Bliskos over there are going to talk about this. We got even the Litvish Lev is going to feel this one. You ready? Well, Chaver. No?
No,
okay. Okay. They don't even mind. They know it's Emes. It's fine. That's to them. That's Shevach. What do you mean? That's Shevach. Am I wrong? No. Listen to the words, Reish. Listen to the words of piece 292. Reish Pei Vav plus 6. Right? 286 plus 6, 292. Listen to the words, you can't make this up. Al Yidei Zeya Toiva. These are the words of Rav Nachman. Through sweating, through Zeya Tova. And he explains, listen to in the parentheses. Kagon, for example, Shemazian Al Yidei Davar Shabdusha. When you're sweating for a Davar Kedusha, when you sweat, when you're full of Islavas, you're full of passion, you're full of excitement, your mamish not just doing, you're sweating for the Davar Kedusha. Al Yidezeh Nasa Simcha. That's where Simcha comes from. That's where completeness comes from. Zeya Shal Kedusha. Sweating Davar Kedusha. And just at the end, you have to read through the whole piece where he explains this, and how where the sweat comes from in the body and the blood, but listen where he ends with the Zeh Osios Zeya Zion Yud Ayin Hey. What are Osios? The letter Zion Yud Ayin Hey spell Rashi Tevos Zeh Hayoyim Asa Hashem Zeh Hayoyim Asa Hashem Zeya Rashi Tevos That's where you have simcha. When you're zeya, when you're sweating, when you're full of hislavos, when you're full of passion. Hainu bechina simcha shel yom tov. You reach a level of bechina shel yom tov, you're living yom tov always. Yom tov, we're sweating. We're tancing at kofos. We're tancing at burim. We're shaking our lula of mamish. Lag boimer is by the fire. Shinasa zeya toiva. That's the zeya toiva. And that's what we see also, that a sick person, takev kishmazia, immediately when he sweats, you gotta sweat it out. When you're sick, you don't feel well, and you're under, and you're like fluish, and you have a cold. And what's the source that brings the refuah? Kishmazia, nimshachal of simcha. When you sweat it out, that's when you have the simcha. Ki al yidei azeya nasa simcha. You can't make it up. Piece 292. In Rav Nachman, the matter of the safsuf of this pasuk is telling us, have the zeya, which is the taiva still dover kedusha. The taiva for kedusha, the taiva for mitzvahs, the passion for avodat Hashem. A lot of us tonight already, we're dancing by the chasana, have been dancing by chasanas all week long, and we're dancing by chasana, we're sweating, we're passionate, we're besimcha. We're going to be Bez Hashem, August 16th, what's the Hey Elul, Tavshin Eches, the whole Welt is invited to Crest Hall for Ichim Matos Chasana, and we'll all be sweating Zeya Shel Simcha, with Aral Samet. Vad with Aral Samet. It's going to be Zeya Yom Hashem, Nagil Ben Chva. It's going to be Mamish, the Zeya that reaches the level of Simcha. Because when is a person besimcha? When we're doing what's right, when we're living a complete life, whenever we fall into taiva, into bad places, we're never besimcha with ourselves. It's the atzvus. What happens when any day after a person lo aleinu falls for years, and I wakes up depressed? And now every avera is the same way. When we don't live up to who we're supposed to be, because we're not complete, I'm not who I'm supposed to be. So there's no simcha. When I'm passionate about my avodas Hashem, I feel alive, I feel incredible, I feel that I'm one with Hashem. Zah, yom I saw Hashem. So Be'ez Hashem is Baruch, each and every one of us should take the chizik of Esavu Taiva, take the chizik and be that Eish of the Menorah in our Avodah Hashem. And then each and every one of us will be Zoiche, to have Atzlocha throughout the summer months, and pass all the Nisyonos, and not just pass them, but then whatever Nisyon we're putting, not that we'll ever put ourselves in on L'chadchila, but if we're in them B'dieved, we're going to use those times to build even stronger taiva for kedusha, for Torah, for mitzvahs, and to be dancing with Mashiach Kenu, b'mehera b'yameinu.